Welcome to week four of the Annabelle set. We are back, and this time we've gone back to the tried and true methods of Mr. Rob Archibald. Annabelle was very good last week. Insight fantastic. Tipping was just okay. But we need to win and win big this week. So we're hoping you can deliver again like you did a couple of weeks ago. I heard you were pretty happy with your effort of tipping all those roughies that ended up running the place.
Yeah, I was actually. doesn't happen very often with me particularly. But yeah, it was good. We've got a good couple of weeks. Horses are running well, so it's been pleasing. Obviously, still a long way to go in the Spring Carnival, but we feel like we've had a nice enough start, and only gets harder from here.
Would you say that you and Annabelle are content with how the spring's going? I mean, I know you would have loved to have won the Caulfield Cup, loved to have won the Everest, but when you look at it on the whole, all the big horses are running pretty well, aren't they? And it's been pretty good.
Yeah, on the whole, the horses are running where you'd hope them to be. Obviously, the racing's so competitive at the moment that, you know, we've had a few results where we've gone close, but also missed by a fair way, you feel like. So yeah, I think we're pretty happy. You're never that happy. While there's some nice horses winning, there's plenty of horses that aren't winning that you're trying to worry about as well. So yeah, on the whole, I think it's okay. Plenty to work on.
Very good. All right, why don't we get into the week that was? So we're going to start with the biggest news of the week: the Silver Eagle. And we've got Ostraka wins silver but wants gold. So here's the footage of Ostraka winning the Silver Eagle. I'll let you talk about it just quickly. Obviously, Ostraka is out in front. We've got Port Lockroy in about seventh in the white and yellow, trying to get into clear running now. Great ride by Blake Shin. Tell us how you saw it all.
Yeah, so obviously it was always going to be a little bit difficult for Ostraka from the wide draw. So Annabelle really gave him an open book and just said, just feel your way, see how he begins. If he does begin well, you've got the option to go forward. So I think underneath, Blake always felt that going forward would probably give him his best chance of winning. If he was going to go back, he was going to end up a long way back. But he had to wait to see how he began before he made that decision. And obviously, he's a brilliant rider. Jumped well, got to the front relatively easily. Mm-hmm. And importantly, after sending him a bit of a message to get to the front, he relaxed really well. So conserved energy through the middle part of the race and was strong to the line, under a little bit of pressure late, but really strong. So thought that was a really good effort from him. He's shown how versatile he is. Obviously, last start he was on speed, but the start before that he was ridden very quietly and flew home. So, yeah, he's progressing really well. He's improving all the time, obviously. That's probably his strongest race to date, and he's answered it.
It's really a million-dollar race and not easy to win.
So. Yeah, and you look at some other horses in the race, there's some really smart ones as well. So, yeah full credit to Blake. He gave him every chance and, also to the team that's behind the scenes, you know, Joel rides him, who's done a really good job with him as well. So, yeah, no, this big effort by everyone, but it's pleasing.
And we go on to the Golden Eagle now, the $10 million Golden Eagle.
Yeah, a little query over the 1500 with him. I guess a horse is so brilliant, he's so fast, you always wonder how far you can stretch them. But he is a winner over 1400, so that gives us some confidence that should be all right. We're fairly deep into the prep now, so he's fit. So, I think you know, with that sort of prize money, he certainly will get his chance. We'll obviously learn a bit more about him.
Last time I looked, he was $17, and that's because there's a few horses coming from overseas that look very, very good. Have you looked into them much and what they're about?
Not yet. Obviously, we've had a little bit of a look into them, but not in any great depth. But that's something we do the week of the race as we start to get a bit closer to it and trying to work out a bit of a map of where he might sit and things like that. But he's really smart. I think he's going to be even better next preparation. But
looks like a real professional racehorse, doesn't he?
Yeah,
like you're saying, like he relaxes in the middle stages and
exactly. He just does everything right, and certainly sky's the limit for him at the moment.
And long way to go till autumn, but I'd imagine in the back of your mind you're hoping to aim him pretty high in autumn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think hopefully we can sort of end up one of those open age sprinters in time. Hopefully he can develop into that.
Port Lockroy, solid run.
Yeah, another really good run. He's a bit frustrating. He just shuffled probably a couple of pairs further back than we would have hoped. He'd drawn really well and we're hoping he might be able to land in the first sort of six. But, as it always eventuates, the race panned out. He got shuffled back and he's flown home in really good time, which he does do. So, obviously, you had to run top two in the Silver Eagle to give you an automatic entry into the Golden Eagle. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he missed there, but and I don't think he'll get a start. So slightly reroute. I think there's a couple of options for him on the table. Potentially, I think there's a benchmark race over 1,400 mm-hmm. on Melbourne Cup Day at Flemington that we might look at, which would be coming back in grade, but be nice to get him a win.
Hot chance in there.
Try and get him a win and then... Yeah. You know, build back from there.
Is he a horse that might get over a bit more distance, just the way that he sort of revs up, even in that race?
Yeah, well, we've stretched him out in the past, but I think we feel like we're trying to keep him to some slightly shorter distances, you know, 12, 14. No doubt he'll get a mile, so we'll see how we go next start and go from there.
Very good. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the King Trials. So the headline here is My Oh My, and I reckon you were thinking that too, because here's My Oberon coming out in those purple colours. Pride of Jenny out in front doing what she does, and then you just put in this big burst and for a second looks like you're going to go straight on by. Is that how it felt?
Yeah, well, at this moment we thought we were in with a real chance. Yeah. Obviously, Nash gave him a great ride, gave him every possible chance, and he's probably just slightly peaked on his run about here. And the winner
superstar.
Is obviously a superstar, yeah. And he's getting better all the time. So he's so honest. He's a very genuine horse, My Oberon. He always puts his best foot forward and... Yeah, Nash gave him a lovely ride and it was a really good performance. And when you look at the horses behind him, he's right there with some of the best milers in Australia. So, hopefully there's a few more wins in store for him.
And he'll get his chance in the Champions Mile at Flemington, last day of the carnival?
That's right. He'll go straight to the Champions Mile.
Yeah. And I think you got 400,000 for running third, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Obviously, the bonus between the Epsom and the King Charles, so... Yeah, no, it's great prize money, and there's also the bonus on top of that. So, pretty happy.
Amelia's Jewel, solid, you know.
Yeah, she was good. Obviously, got a long way back and had plenty of work to do, and she actually ran home in good time, really strong through the line. Tommy got off and said potentially she's just looking for a little bit of headgear. Mm-hmm. Just when he first asked her for an effort, she just probably took it 100 meters or so just to wind up, and then her best work was the last sort of 250 metres. So, good effort. She's going really well. Obviously, it's an elite field of horses there that she was up against in the King Charles. But she'll probably go to the Mare's Mile at Flemington.
The Empire Rose.
Yep. And we might work at home. We'll try a few things out and see how we go. Yeah, she's won them before, but, I think, back to her own sex should suit.
She's third favourite. I thought she was about $6 or something. So
yeah,
that's her chance. That's her day.
Exactly.
And what did you make of the Major Beal tactics out of the barrier? And I personally thought it was okay. It was fine. I thought that if Declan wanted to, he could have pulled in behind Major Beal and gone over to the fence. Obviously, a pretty divisive topic. What did you make?
I thought it was fine. I thought it's obviously the stewards looked at it as well. They thought it was within the rules. I mean, I think Adam and Adrian and Gay were just doing what they thought was giving their horse the best chance of winning. They're obviously trying to beat Pride of Jenny as well. So he's a horse that gets out over further. They needed a real staying test. So, they were just trying to win the race and obviously make Pride of Jenny do a bit more than she needed to was going to give them more of a chance. So that's the way I looked at it. Obviously the nature of the game and the pressure in the race, it's always going to probably bring about some discussion, but I think it went to the stewards and was handled accordingly.
Cool. All right, let's move down to Caulfield. So this was the big win of the day in the Moongarr. You had Mighty Ulysses, who's a pretty lightly raced horse in Australia. I think this was his fifth start. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he's back in the same colours as My Oberon. Great Mott ride by Jamie Mott. Purple cap, purple silks, weaving his way through now. I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, obviously Jamie, he's a horse that just wants to overdo things a little bit. But I thought Jamie got him into a good rhythm. He was travelling really strongly through the middle stages of the race and he just needed a little bit of air time and he was electric, wasn't he, over the final 200 metres. So he's a very talented horse. We've always believed that. He likes a little bit of giving the track and as long as he gets that first half of the race right, you know he's always going to be strong late. So, yeah, it suited him there. Hopefully he can build on that and we can put a few nice races together.
So what does the future look like for Mighty Ulysses this spring?
Yeah, obviously there's plenty of time left. He's only just getting his preparation underway, we could potentially look at the Champion Stakes, which would be a big step up, or a race like the Rupert Clark. So we'll just see how he's over the next couple of weeks before we confirm those plans.
All right, great. Let's move to Stable Mail. So it's not often that you talk about an Everest runner in the Stable Mail doesn't even get top billing, but that's how it's worked out. So let's talk about Sunshine in Paris in the Everest. We'll bring up the race. Of course, Sunshine in Paris is coming out to the white, out wide now in the white with the yellow and green flex. Tommy Berry on board. Solid run. What do we make of it all? And how is she?
Yeah, I just think from where she's ended up in the first third of the race, it's been very difficult. It was very difficult to win the race. She's obviously done all she can from back there, and she's run home in really strong time. But she just ended up too far back and had too much to do. So frustrating. You only get one chance at a race like that.
Yeah.
I think Craig Williams was brave, potentially in hindsight, and that's an easy thing. We would have probably come out and been a bit more positive, and we might have even got into a spot behind her.
So you had one last crack at her.
Yeah. But look, frustrating. It didn't pan out how we'd hoped. She's going well. She's such a I think she's at the peak of her powers, and I think if you ran that race probably 10 times, you probably would have got a few different results. But really happy with her. She's a brave effort, and I'm sure if we get her in the right race, she can be winning.
And I hope she's not going to go the paddock issue. I know you like to keep a lightly raced. I'd love to see a race again this spring. Do we know what we're going to do?
Yeah, a couple of options. Potentially the Russell Balling.
Yep.
Or we might wait for the Group 1 down the straight. At the end of the
the Champions
Melbourne
Sprint
Cup week. So,
but you almost certainly she will run again this spring.
She'll have one more run.
Great, great, cool.
That's the plan.
Let's move on to another one of your sprinters, Lady Laguna in the Sydney Stakes in the OTI colours, out the back now, white, sort of coming into it. Another probably pass mark as a run, but you tell me.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good run. She's got back from the wide draw, and she's continued to be really strong to the line. So I thought that was a good run from her. She's had a little bit of time, obviously had a virus and a bit of time off, and I thought that was a really good return. So, it's plenty to work on from there. And, again, she will potentially go to the Russell Balling or, I think the Russell Balling over the 1300 is going to suit her.
Better
potentially
her.
That Group 1 down the straight, but I think leaning towards more the Russell Balling.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move to the feature races. So starting with a bang, the Fawkner Park is lining up in the Craven Plate. You've got a lot of runners in the Craven Plate. Have you got four or five or something like that?
I think we've accepted with four. Yeah.
All right, so we love putting your track work up from Tuesday morning. So we've got track work Tuesday morning at Warwick Farm. We've got Fawkner Park on the inside, Galleron on the outside. Were you there for this track work?
Yeah, we were there. Excellent work by both horses. That's Galleron on his outside, who's a really good worker at home. And we just said to Hevelon, who's riding Fawkner Park, just give him a nice gallop without doing too much, because he'd had a good bit of work on Saturday where he'd worked really well. So he's come back to Sydney. He's settled straight in, and he's a lot more comfortable Sydney way of going, almost from day one of getting back. He was just much happier. And the first bit of work we did with him, we knew he's sort of heading back. So obviously we need to see it back at the races back here, but from what we're seeing at home, we're confident that he's ready to return in good order.
So let's throw the market up. Here it is. So you've got Fawkner Park up the top there at $4.20, and then we can see as the market gets a bit rougher, you've got New Marion, you've got Naval College, Spirit Ridge. So, I mean, you've said Fawkner Park's going as good as you could have hoped. You think he's a red-hot chance on Saturday?
Look, you can make a case for all those horses. Spirit Ridge is really good, fresh, and he's a top horse on his day. Naval College, he's going really well. We've been very happy with him. He's a good price from a good draw. New Marion, obviously started off last preparation up in Brisbane really well, and then the end of his preparation was probably a little bit disappointing. With a few genuine excuses. So, I think all those horses, if they come to the race in their best order, you could make a case for. But Fawkner Park's obviously the horse that's got that little bit of X factor, and he should get every chance from that draw.
A bit further forward, and you're going to make him an official Annabelle set tip, is that right?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he can bounce back. Obviously disappointing. He's run down in Melbourne, but ready to bounce back here.
Very good. All right. We're going to move to, well, this gets a little bit tricky here because we don't totally know. We're going to talk about firm agreement, and he's accepted in both the Spring Champions at Randwick on Saturday and also the Vars down at Moonee Valley. So he's going to get about over a bit of distance. They're both, you know, roughly 2,000 metres, 2,000 metres in Sydney, 2,040 metres at the Valley. You still don't know exactly where he's going to go. Let's look at a bit of track work. And interestingly, you guys ran him, galloped him the Melbourne way of going here. So he's sitting back in the red cap.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously preparing him if he was to go down to Melbourne, just give him a gallop Melbourne way, just to give him that little bit of experience. Mm-hmm. It's hard to rep, you know, you can, only way you can really replicate is under sort of a bit more pressure like we have here. He worked really nicely, seemed to cope well, changed legs at the right time and was nice and balanced. So from that point of view, quite happy. Just looking at the form of the two races, obviously.
We can bring that up now. Why don't we bring up, firstly, there's the Spring Champion. So he's much rougher in the Spring Champion. Obviously, it's a Group 1 race. A lot of good horses in there.
Yeah, look, a lot of those horses he's been racing against in the gloaming. So from 10, you could ride him a little bit quieter and just to give him every chance of seeing out the 2,000 metres. I think he's a good price there. Yeah. He's beaten a lot of those horses already. And he's going well. So it's a hard one. Obviously, the Spring Champions are Group 1 and they're hard to come by. But looking at the Vars at Moonee Valley.
So we'll bring up the Vars now. There it is.
Yeah, you can see he's a $4 chance there. Blake Shin on board. There's a lot to like about that as well. So it's not an easy decision. As I said, Group 1s don't come along very often and we feel he's a genuine top three chance in the Spring Champion. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, he's probably a genuine winning chance. So we constant communication with the owners throughout the day. They are doing their own research. You know, we're presenting our case of what we feel, and we're quite open-minded about it. I mean, ultimately, you just want to go to the race where you think they can win.
Sure.
And that's probably the Vars at the moment. It's his best winning chance, but he's going to have to cope Melbourne way under race day pressure. And while we feel he can and will, you never really know until they go and do it. So. Probably a few question marks there. Also, if he did run well, it would give him the chance to potentially back up into a derby if we felt like he saw it out really well.
Absolutely.
And he's already down there and don't have to worry about
the
travel.
So that's a bit of an advantage of that. Yeah,
so there'd be advantage of that. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, that's an interesting
So there are little things that you think about. But, yeah, look, I think whatever race he goes to, confident that he can run a big race.
Very good. All right, let's go to the big one, the Cox Plate. Unfortunately, we don't have a runner this year, but there's some very good horses there. First question, Via Sistina, the drama that happened, I think it was yesterday morning. So if, let's say, Faulkner Park had done three laps of Moonee Valley on Tuesday morning, you know, breakfast with the best, and he was going to line up in the Cox Plate, do you think you and Annabelle would have no qualms in running him as long as he was sound and he'd done that three laps, really hard gallop without a rider on, you know, by accident, basically?
Yeah, obviously it's far from ideal and particularly... You know, I'm sure James and Chris, who are meticulous in their planning and preparation, they wouldn't have been happy with it, but it's what's happened and I'm sure now it's just getting into the mode of, okay, well, now how do we get her in the best possible shape by Saturday? So from our point of view, yeah, I don't think we'd have any issues in running her on Saturday as long as vet was happy, physio and chiropractor are happy and she's showing you signs at home that she's very well in herself. If there was any reason not to, then, yeah, I think you'd just... You just say, look, we're going to have to give this one a miss and hopefully we get another opportunity. But I'm sure they'll do everything possible to make sure she's right and they wouldn't risk her if she wasn't. So in terms of the galloping for three laps, at the end of the day, it's I don't think there's too much to be worried about with that. I think it's interestingly reading a lot of the stuff, a lot of people have come out and said, oh, well, it happened to me and I came out and won a race 2 days later and at lots of different levels. So, yeah, I don't think it's too big an issue.
One of the boys out there made a good point that when you don't have a jockey on the back, it's a lot different, you know.
So that's exactly right. Yeah. And a big difference with that. And actually there's race pace and there's galloping around on your own and she was probably doing evens or something like that around, which, you know, by all accounts, she's pulled up really well from it.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
All right. What do you reckon in this race, though? If you have to have a bet, what are you thinking?
I don't know a lot about prognosis, but from what I'm hearing, he's a really good horse. Vista Steen is obviously coming off a really good win last start. Pride of Jenny always puts herself right in it with her style of racing. It's a big ask to back up a week later, but she's fit, and I'm sure she'll take plenty of running down. Broadsiding didn't have much luck the other day. From eight, I suppose, is going to need a bit more luck. Interestingly, yeah, you can't discount him. Mr. Brightside, you couldn't discount at all. I see they put the winkers on and they were happy with him the other day. Docklands is a bit unknown, but he's got good European form. I know Harry Eustace, he's been chatting to Annabelle, and I think they're really happy with the way he's travelled over. So he's got really good form. Evaporate, again, I don't know a huge amount, but three-year-old that looks very progressive. He hasn't done anything wrong. What's he won four of his last five? Kovalika probably has to, improve a little bit to be up against those horses. And Royal Patching is the same. So, yeah, I think it's pretty wide open. Hard to think.
The market's got
I think Docklands is a big price.
Okay.
From what they think. But I think, I don't know prognosis, but they're all saying he's going to take a huge amount of beating. And V. Sistina, if she turns up in the best order, she would take a bit of beating too. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, it's time for the all-important Annabelle set. You got your piece of paper there. We've already said Faulkner Park. So why don't you tell us the others that you've got there? I think there's three more.
So, yeah, Faulkner Park, race six, number two. Depth of Character in the Calendar Presnell, race five, number six. It was disappointing. It wasn't disappointing the other day. We just got it completely wrong, where we'd felt like he had to be positive to give himself the best chance of winning the race. And like we were talking about with Ostraka, we sent him a bit of a message to go forward, and then he didn't relax at all in front, overdid it. And actually pulled up with a heart arrhythmia. So complete line through that. I think he's ready to bounce back. He'll get a lovely run from his draw. Just ride him a little bit quieter. And doesn't look the strongest race on paper. So if he comes back to his best, I think he's a really good chance in that race. My next one is Basusto, Mooney Valley Race 2, number 3. In the Guineas Prelude down there, he was a couple of lengths off the horses that have ended up, I think, 1-2. In the Guineas. So
that's Amelia's Jewel little brother.
That's Amelia's Jewel little brother. So I'm confident he can run a good race there. I know Blake Shin's always felt like the 1,200 metres was his best.
We love Blake being on board too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, Blake's ridden him really well when he was around at the Mooney Valley last start. And then Mooney Valley, number 10, race 10, number 5, Little Mix. She was excellent here last start over the mile, up to the 2,000 she'll love, and she's going really well.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you. We're reaching our peak next week. That'll be our last episode next week. And there's so many of your good horses moving towards that Flemington Carnival for some grand finals. Also got Golden Eagles and well. So it's all going to come to a big crescendo next week. I'm looking forward to it. But thank you very much for coming in today. I hope everyone really enjoys Cox Plate. The next couple of weeks are the best few weeks of racing of the year. It's great to have you guys in here with the insight. Up the den, and we'll see you on Saturday for Cox Plate. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.